kick off the third hour program. Guess what? Howard Lutnick is still answering questions in regards to Jeffrey Epstein, so we can't let him off the hook that quickly. Let's take a listen.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to start by sharing the concerns and statement made by the chairman. I think you've heard it from other members of this committee as well. Yeah, the benefit of the bargain was struck at the time we passed the infrastructure bill. I've heard you refer on a number of occasions to new ideas. Having worked with the states, including my state of Maryland, for a long time on this, Mr. Secretary, I think the important thing is to make sure that they get the benefit of the bargain. And I think you're hearing on a bipartisan basis this committee is going to scrutinize that very closely. There are just a couple of questions I have before we close. One is just a follow-up on one of your responses with respect to the Epstein files, specifically the visit you and your family took to Epstein's private island in 2012. And I think you also said you went on his yacht. Is that right? Or boat? No.
No.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
At that time, I think you mentioned that you were accompanied by your wife and kids and nannies. My question is, do you know whether the nanny that you had on that trip was the same nanny that Jeffrey Epstein expressed interest in meeting?
No, I have no idea about that whole thing. I mean, I don't recall it having anything to do with me, and I don't know that.
It's just, you know, this guy was a convicted sex offender and obviously not a great place for kids and nannies. Was Ghislaine Maxwell on the island at that time?
No.
So turning now to the issues of the high-speed internet and broadband, let me just say I appreciated your very emphatic response to Senator Shaheen about Starlink, SpaceX, or any other entity.
All right, let's step in on this because obviously, folks, he's done answering those questions, but we'll keep listening in. If something does come up, we'll bring it to your attention. But obviously, this is something that is very, very important. And we actually have Lutnick admitting to what we've kind of suspected. So this is interesting. It's getting very, very interesting. I want to jump into the MAHA movement for just a split second here. Let's get to clip 7 because this is RFK Jr. talking about what our adversaries are doing to our food industry here in the United States. Take a listen.
You know, it was really serendipitous. The two guys, Brent Ratner, who helped produce the ad, had a lifelong friendship with him and understood and was aware of the struggle that Mike had had, which he says the biggest struggle, the biggest fight that he had in his lifetime was his fight with obesity. He was 340 pounds. He lost a sister when she was 25 to obesity, to a heart attack. And he did, the whole ad was shot in the whole thing was conceived over about a 3-day period. And they gave him a script. The script was not working, and he just started talking. And it's an extraordinary, powerful ad. I think it's the most important ad in Super Bowl history because it's a crisis, Peter, that's existential for us now. 77% of our kids cannot qualify for military service. The obesity is off the chart. 38% of American teens are diabetic or pre-diabetic. And the cost to our country is ruinous. When my uncle was president, we spent zero on crime.
We all know what's going on here. We all know that the food industry is poisoning us. But I love the fact that Mike Tyson's leading the way on all of this. For Americans to eat real food, Give up the processed food garbage. It's absolute garbage. Go back to just eating meat. That's what I'm doing these days, and I highly recommend everyone else do the same. Folks, we got our eye on a couple things going on right now. When we come back, we'll bring you to the hearing that's taking place. It's all the top immigration officials front and center, and I have a feeling Eric Swalwell is going to be speaking next. We'll bring that to you. We'll also be taking your calls over the next 20 minutes as well. We'll try to hit all those callers and get them into the show. So stay put. We got more to discuss in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Like I told you, we have this incredible deal when you bundle select vitamins, select supplements. You're going to get 50% off. We got two packages bundled up for you right now. You got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and check it out.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father. And a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the show. We'll get to your calls in just a little bit. But I noticed that Eric Swalwell is speaking right now at that immigration hearing that's going on right now in front of the House Homeland Security Committee. Let's take a listen.
A couple nights ago, I met with a woman who works as a cashier at a grocery store, and I told her I was coming to see you, Mr. Lyons, and she said, will you ask him, and she didn't want to give her name. She was terrified to give her name. But she said, when I get off my shift around midnight and I walk through the parking lot to my car, she said, if somebody rolls up in an unidentified van and gets out wearing all black and their face is covered and they don't have any identification and they ask me to get into the van, how do I know who they are? How does she know, Mr. Lyons? How does she know if they're an ICE agent or bad guys?
Sir, ICE agents have identifiable placards on their uniforms as well as their badges representative, but you won't see ICE agents rolling through the parking lots and just snatching someone up. ICE does intelligence-driven targeted enforcement operations.
Well, Mr. Homan and others have said that they target individuals based on the color of their skin and the accent that they speak,
dumbass.
And that's why people are running through the fields and factories where they work. Director Lyons, last year you said in Phoenix at the Border Security Expo that you wanted to see a deportation process that was like, quote, Amazon Prime, but with human beings. Mr. Lyons, how many times has Amazon Prime shot a mom three times in the face?
None, sir, but you're also...
It's the square root of zero. That's right.
Yes, sir. Yeah, but if we're going to go down that route of my comment, I did say that comment. However, that comment was taken out. If you go back and watch the video, I did say that we need to be more efficient when it comes to removing individuals from the United States because ICE doesn't detain punitively. We detain to remove. I don't want to see people in custody. At the end of my statement was, and again, to your point, it was a industry day for AI and efficiencies, but I did say at the end of it, but we deal with human beings, so we can't be like them.
And speaking
That's
of human,
the key part that you're leaving out.
Well, speaking of human beings, how many times has Amazon Prime shot a nurse 10 times in the back?
None.
How many times has Amazon Prime dragged a woman out of a car by her hair and then dragged her down the street?
None.
How many ICE agents have been fired for their conduct under your leadership?
Sir, I can get you that data. I'll get that back to you.
Is it more than one?
I'm not going to speak about personnel actions, but I'll get you that data.
Can you tell us if at least, God, I hope at least one person has been fired for their conduct since these operations have begun? Are you telling us you can't even say one person's been fired?
Sir, I'm not going to talk about personnel actions, but we will get back to you.
But two people have been killed so far. Is that right? A nurse named Pretty and a mom named Good. Two people have been killed so far.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lyons, will you apologize to the family of Renee Good for being called a domestic terrorist by the president and his leadership?
No, sir.
Why not?
Sir, I welcome the opportunity to speak to the family in private, but I'm not going to comment on any active investigation.
Is she a domestic terrorist?
Sir, I'm not going to comment on the investigation. And the president and Secretary Noem are elected officials. That's your right to their comments. But as career law enforcement, we won't speak to any.
Do you agree with their comments?
Sir, I'm not going to go ahead and talk about any ongoing investigation.
Will you apologize to the family of Alex Pretty for also being called a domestic terrorist?
Sir, again, I'm not going to speak to any
Eric Swalwell, low IQ. Low IQ. That's putting it nicely because my mom's watching right now. What an absolute moron. For some reason, he believes that he is, that he sounds intelligent. He actually just sounds like a dumbass, though. The reality of it is he's sitting there and he's trying to get all of these top immigration officials to bow down to domestic terrorists with their slanted false stories, hoping it's clickbait enough for him to be able to fundraise off of. That's Eric Swalwell, the guy who is allegedly running for California governor. What a dirtbag. All right, let's jump back to some callers right now. Let's go to Josh, North Carolina. Josh, thanks for holding for us. What's on your mind?
Oh, not a problem. I hope you had a good day. I just want to start off on a positive note. Just there's a lot of doom and gloom stuff going on. I'm definitely not flat pillar, but to be honest, I think the Epstein stuff that we're getting in its entirety is just a proof that the slave trade that still goes on in the world today is very much alive in America. Now, you can call it whatever you want, but every conspiracy theorist knows the term wage slave. And that's something I haven't heard people talk about, except like a few times with the immigration. Like, oh, you want these cheap workers? You got 50% of your staff missing. Oh, they're wage slaves. People trading their time. They'll never get out of poverty. Like Alex talks about feudalism. But, I feel the callers, everybody's wondering what to do. Look at your local politics. I just wanted to shout out to Don Brown of North Carolina. He's running for North Carolina Senate. He's actually a pretty cool guy. Look him up if you're in North Carolina. Consider him on the ballot. We got to get him out there. But in your individual states, you need to look at who these people are. They're promoting Michael Whiteley. He was endorsed by Trump. But a lot of people that are looking into him say, he's not doing shit. I'm going to keep my language down to the minimum for the children. But my final message before I give it back to you is just pass the SAVE Act. Let's get it.
I like it, Josh. I like it, Josh. Thanks for calling in. No, yeah, we could always use like little ounces, a little glimpse of hope. So we appreciate that. And thanks for holding for a while. I know it's been a while. So thank you for that. And I always tell people you got to get involved locally. The federal swamp is just too much, but the local stuff is really what's going to affect you. And I think, you know, Mel Kay, who we have on the show quite often, does a great job of telling people about that. But she wants everyone locally involved as well. And I think that is very, very important. So, thank you for that. Let's turn to another caller. Let's see. Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome back.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, y'all, please go to the alexjonesstore.com/redneck and buy some of that methylene blue. But I want to talk about the Epstein files. And I was watching a clip of Roseanne with Tucker Carlson, and it was so crazy. At first, I thought it was AI. And I'm like, no, this is real. And she's telling Tucker Carlson to stop looking at her like she's crazy and that the Rothschilds and were drinking blood and that they're literally vampires. And first thing I thought of, man, this has got to be fake. But you know what? Just because she might be crazy doesn't mean she's wrong. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I love both people, so I'll have to give it a look. I didn't see that one. But thanks for putting it on my radar, Bart. I appreciate just that. Let's turn to Lester. Lester, welcome to the show. I believe that says, and it's the font is so small. I know I don't look like I have bad eyesight, but it's kind of feeling that way. I think this says West Virginia. Lester, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. It's not the first time I've been a caller on your show.
Ah, well, welcome.
Okay, yeah, because I like it. And I just realized this morning, I'm a huge baseball fan, and you started talking about Trevor Bauer, and I realized, I've seen Brianna before. You used to be affiliated with Major League Baseball, and you've done the World Baseball Classic, right?
I did. I was down there in Miami. I was covering, I don't know what outlet it was. I spent about 3 years, I want to say roughly, working over at Major League Baseball. So I was down there. I did a couple of freelance jobs, but it was Major League Baseball. It was the Advanced Media Major League Baseball company I was working for. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I recognize you from. Great. Anyway, Trevor Bauer, here's my views on it. Trevor's put out some risque stuff on YouTube, right? He's a little toxic in a way. I think Major League Baseball has kind of like said, hey, if you can find a team that'll take you, we'll let you come back into the league. I think that's pretty much what the whole thing is from the CBA of Major League Baseball. But, yeah, but a lot of teams, they just won't look at him because, they feel he'll be toxic to the clubhouse. What's your take?
The wives were the ones. So when I was asking GMs, and this is like, I mean, I don't work, and I was just like chatting it up with people. They told me that the wives were the ones who were refusing to let Trevor Bauer to come onto any of the teams. So although he's been proven, I believe it's 100% to be vindicated in all of this. I haven't followed it in a while, but I'm pretty sure there was a couple of women who came forward. I'm pretty sure everything has been cleared. The wives don't want him anywhere near the clubhouse. And so that was their big push. Again, I never actually understood it. I never actually was in a clubhouse with Trevor Bauer, so I don't know what his behavior is personally, professionally, but he is, I don't know if he's still currently playing overseas. You might know this, Lester, but I remember when all this was breaking, he was playing abroad in Asia. I don't know if he's still there or not. I don't know if he's just given up, but I know he was trying to work his way back to Major League Baseball, but the teams weren't going to give him that chance. Do you know where he is currently, what his status is? Grab a look.
Mexico. He's in Mexico right now. He's playing in the Mexican leagues. That's so exact. Cool. And he's really trying to make it back. He's just looking for any team that'll take a chance on him. And I think, you know, I believe in second chances. And, you know, I think the guy should get a shake. But a lot of, like you said, the wives and some teams, you know, they just don't, you know, they don't feel that he'll be a good clubhouse fit. But my last point is, and you can let me go, Bill Clinton was in a hot tub with the redacted victim. Where is the justice? Mic drop. Thank you, Brianna.
Yeah, well, I like that one, Lester. No, it's true. I mean, we have the photo. If the DOJ is being what they say they are, they're redacting photos of victims, then, yeah, we need those answers. And Ghislaine Maxwell also yesterday during her deposition said that there was no wrongdoing by President Trump or Clinton. I mean, I think that's probably a push to spare herself because we all know what happens when you accuse the Clintons of anything. But There's that. Also, when I look back at Trevor Bauer's stats, like I told you guys before, he was a Cy Young winner, which is the highest. If you don't follow Major League Baseball, I mean, that's the highest. And it is so hard to win a Cy Young award. That's how he went out of the major leagues with. And he was, his ERA was a 2.59, which is crazy, folks. So it's really unfortunate to see what happened to Trevor Bauer. I really hope that he does make his way back to the major leagues. But it just highlights, I mean, you need to keep pushing this. You know, women can destroy your lives. And this is why I'm not a fan of the statute of limitation going up. I don't like this. I think the statute of limitation is in place for a reason. Men should be able to prove claims being made against them. I don't think it's fair to, you know, tie their hands behind their backs and sit there and allow anyone to come out and make an accusation about you that you can't prove whether or not it's true or not. We need to end all of this. And I feel bad for Trevor Bauer. He fought hard to try to disprove what was being put out there about him. And I mean, he did a heck of a job. I mean, I was convinced based on the physical evidence. I mean, if we have the photos too, there was in the criminal complaints, there was a woman who was literally beaten. I mean, she had the physical markings on her face of a woman who was beaten. But then I'm trying to remember at great detail, but then you're looking through what he was able to do, which was sue her, get her metadata. And you realize that when she left his home, this is according to his attorneys, she was fine. She was fine. Now, again, I don't think she was criminally charged with anything, which is insane. I believe women who make false claims against men should go to prison for the same time that man would have gone to prison for. So just something to float out there. But again, these are the issues that are going on right now. And that's why I don't jump on the bandwagon anymore. I mean, I was convinced that Trevor Bauer actually did what he was accused of doing based on the medical records. I remember the woman, I believe, had two concussions. I mean, look at these images. To believe, and maybe it's because I'm not bat-ish crazy, but to believe that a woman may have self-inflicted these injuries is wild. Now, again, none of this has been proven in criminal court, both the allegations against this woman and Trevor. But one must wonder, what the heck is going on here? I know Sarah Gonzalez did an interview with her after all of this came about, after she took a settlement, and the settlement coming from her insurance company, though, not coming from Trevor Bauer. And, you know, Sarah held her feet to the fire on that one. That's Sarah Gonzalez over at The Place. All right, folks, go back to taking your calls. Let's get to Rachel in North Carolina. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi, so good to talk to you. Real quick, I don't know if Alex listens to the show, but we have the same birthday, so I want to wish him a happy birthday for tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Rachel.
Thank you. I wanted to call, I don't know if you saw the video relating back to the Somalis at the meat processing factory. Excuse me. I'm terrible at names, but there was a video about the Somalis and how, I guess it's more of a conspiracy, but there was a man talking about the lack of, like, 911 calls relating to, like, elderly Somali or cardiac arrest. And I think, like, with all of the cannibalism going on with the Epstein files, I'm wondering if there's a bigger conspiracy here. And I know that the fraud with the money comes down from the top. So I almost wonder if they're in on some of the cannibalism and that they're getting paid for it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sorry, you broke up on that last part. Can you repeat that? I'm sorry. My IFB went a little blah, Rachel.
Sorry. Yeah, I was saying how the fraud with the money comes down from the top. Like, we know that the Somalis are not capable of, like, you know, doing all the back-end stuff on their own. So I'm saying maybe there's a bigger conspiracy involving people that are involved with the Epstein stuff. And, like, cannibalism is not, I can't imagine there's a lot of clubs, you know, of cannibalism. So I feel like if there is something there, and the guy mentioned how, like, elderly people would be seen going into this factory and never coming out. So I'm just wondering if there's, like, a deeper conspiracy there and what your thoughts on it are.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked that deep into it, so I don't know as of yet. But I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm willing to look at anything at this point because we're learning more and more about it. I mean, you know, BX, I don't know if you guys know, she's Becca on X. She does an incredible job at breaking down a lot of stuff. She's actually working on a cannibal story, and she's posted about it on her Substack page. I've actually been following it extremely. It's well detailed. It's crazy. But she's on anything cannibalism. She's got this one covered. So she's one of the best. So I'll definitely take a look into it. Again, I think that it is all connected. I also think that a lot of these fraudsters that you're going to see, the Somalian ones, they're all been buying off the politicians. I mean, and they don't do like electronic sending of the funds. It's going to be like cash, bags of cash. And so homes need to be raided now. But I think probably a lot of these politicians have gotten rid of the funds. Rachel, thank you for calling. Happy birthday, Rachel. I know tomorrow we might not speak, so I wish you the very best, and yeah, enjoy it. Make it a great one. All right, folks, so we got a lot we're keeping our eye on right now. I want to also just jump back into the immigration hearing right now because I believe they're asking questions about the database that's being collected right now, the biometric stuff specifically. Let's listen in.
We work hard, mind our own business. ICE in our streets now. People are terrorized. American citizens. Number of cases of Americans being detained, being taken in, some being held for 5 days. Sir, what do we do with those people in that situation? What do we tell them?
Sir, I don't know of any particular case that you're speaking of American citizen being...
I'm more than happy to provide you a list, sir.
100%, sir.
So let me ask you, sir. Are you surveilling U.S. citizens today?
No, sir.
Those people protesting, practicing this First Amendment right, photos of them... Data taken, they're not being placed in any kind of a database?
There is no database for protesters, sir.
One of your officers in Maine said to one of the individuals protesting, we're going to put your face in a little database. What does that mean? Do you have a little database of Americans?
No, sir, we don't.
Then what do you think your ICE agent was doing to this individual when he said those statements?
I can't speak for that individual, sir, but I can assure you there is no database that's tracking United States citizens.
Sir, California, we're a sanctuary state. Does that cause you a problem picking up individuals?
Yes, sir.
I have with me today some data from Sheriff Barnes, Orange County Sheriff. Very good friend. He's been here to testify numerous times. For 2025, he referred about 300 individuals for your office to pick up. 250 were picked up. 50 were never picked up. We had a long conversation saying, what is going on? If these are the worst of the worst, you've called ICE to pick them up and you didn't pick them up. Can you explain to us why you didn't pick up all these individuals that were referred to your office to pick up?
Yes, sir. That's the key part of that is the referral. We make sure that those individuals are eligible to be placed in detention and for movability.
So
you never even looked at those
individuals. Gentlemen's time.
I would like to talk to you about this issue later on, Mr. Lyons. Thank you very much.
Time has expired. I now recognize the gentleman from
Texas. All right, let's step in on this, folks. I'm going to take one more caller before we run out of time. We're also keeping our eye on that hearing, of course. But in the meantime, I want to remind you all to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we have two incredible bundles that we just posted online. And when you bundle these supplements, you get 50% off. That's why you're going to want to jump on to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you do just that. We have the ultimate gut and brain bundle that's going on right now. When you get these three supplements, normally it's going to cost you about $210 roughly. But when you bundle them up for this exclusive offer, you're going to be getting it for less than $100. That includes colostrum, methylene blue, methylene red as well. So head on over right now and make sure you snag that. That is the ultimate gut and brain bundle. Now we also have the Modern World Survival Stack. That one's also a top favorite with some of your most favorite supplements being sold at a discounted rate when you stack them up all together, like the Shilajit Complex, Sea Moss Capsules, and the Atomic Defense. Now, again, normally this would retail for about $185, but you're going to get it today at a discounted rate, which is $89.99. That's available right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to check that out. Let's get to our last caller since we have some time here. We've got about 2 minutes. So, Duck in Chicago, that is all for you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Brianna. And I just wanted to make amends to you for a call I made a few weeks ago about, you know, the Epstein files and why they wouldn't release them or whatever. I was wrong. You were correct.
Oh, thank you, Doc.
I want to make amends for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. anyway, you know, we see every the evil, the just the unbelievable. And I know your blood is boiling as much as mine is. You know, when we see all this and no accountability, when is there a point where there is a line that is crossed? And I don't even want to mention the word, you know, that comes to mind about this, but it has gotten to that point, in my opinion. Your opinion?
Yeah, I don't know what more it's going to take. I mean, we're reading the documents too. And Duck, I'll say this. I mean, I would think that, well, first off, the mainstream media is not even talking about the documents that are being released, which I think is deplorable. I hate using that word, though, given the fact that Hillary Clinton has branded it wrongfully. But the fact that the mainstream media is not even talking about the women who were forced to give birth to children that they don't even know where those children are, I mean, that in itself is just gut-wrenching. My heart bleeds for those women, and nobody cares, Doc. It's like,
well, it's
a rare group of people who actually care. It's us. We care, but the rest of the world doesn't care. All you.
Yeah, and when you look at the child sacrifice and the adrenochrome possible issue, it's to the point where it would turn anybody to become violent, quite frankly. I'm at the point of really losing my crap here. Because I just don't know what the next steps are going to be. And, you know, they just keep shoving it in our face. It's just so, I just don't know where to go from here. I mean, it's gotten to the point where, you know, there has to be some sort of, you know, tea party again that needs to take place in order to not only stop this insanity, but stop. I mean, everyone's a slave to taxes as
Duck,
well.
Duck, we've got five seconds left. We appreciate you calling in. Thank you, my friend. We are grateful for that, folks. Don't go anywhere. Kevin Smith joining me in a second.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts and have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. It's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything gets a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum that's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind-the-scenes attacking them. They're big boys, too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But, I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right-hand corner, VIP Club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month, you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money. Dishevel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country. $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you've spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless, other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. It's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us today. We're watching that immigration hearing that's going on right now. We'll let you know if anything interesting does take place, but we brought you when Eric Swalwell was speaking just a few moments ago, and I think our audience may have lost a couple of IQ points by having to listen to Swalwell, but folks, we'll spare you for now. And if anything interesting does take place, we'll bring you right back there. But I want to shift gears a little bit and bring you to New York, because as many of you guys know, I've been warning you all, New York City has gone full communism, and it's been going on for quite some time now. It's the reason why I ventured out and left back in 2019, because I knew it was going to be an absolute mess. And sadly, that seems to be the case. But if you're homeless living in New York City, it's not a good situation for you. That's because there is a new regime in town. And his name is the leader, Zohran Mamdani. He doesn't care about homeless people. In fact, he must hate them because he's leaving them on the streets right now of New York City to freeze to death. The death count so far is up to 18 homeless individuals have actually frozen to death in New York City. Now, this would be a national story, but I think most people just assumed when New York City elected a communist to run the show that this is what was going to happen. Now, if you're wondering why this is happening, Zohran Mamdani doesn't want to force homeless people who are dealing with mental health issues into shelters. Instead, though, he's going to allow them to live on the streets in frigid weather. Recently, there was just an 84-year-old man found dead in the Bronx, and it's because he froze to death, thanks to Zovran Madani. Now, keep in mind, Zovran Madani has only been the New York City mayor for a couple of weeks now. So although he has 18 casualties under his belt so far, that number is going to get significantly worse. Joining me to discuss is my good friend, Kevin Smith. He's a fellow New Yorker. He's also the host of Loud Majority Live, which you can catch on his X page as well. Kevin, I want to give you a shout out and say thank you for joining me. I missed chatting with you. It's good to hear somebody with a heavy New York accent. I don't get that much in Texas, so welcome. I wanted to dive into the story with you, though. This is all about the New York City mayor, and we all knew it was going to be a disaster. But man, he has 18 casualties under his belt so far, and we're only a couple of weeks in. Your reaction?
Well, you know, this is what happens when you govern on ideas instead of practicality. Look, New York City has always had homeless people. It doesn't really matter who the mayor is, but the situation is a little bit different now, because when it gets freezing in New York, and it does every year, the homeless people tend to go into the subways where it is warmer. But the crime has gotten so bad, the subways have gotten so dangerous, that the homeless people are braving the elements, sleeping in a park just to avoid the crime on New York City subways. And the problem with that is that when you spend 7 days out in below freezing weather, you freeze to death. And it's absolutely tragic what's happening, because these are deaths that did not have to happen. Look, homeless people are incredibly resilient, but right now they're being left with no options. They can either be robbed and beaten up and assaulted on the subway, or they can freeze to death on a park bench. And unfortunately, a lot of them have taken the latter.
Yeah, well, that's the sad part in all of this, because New York City, you know, there was obviously the issues over the last few years, but I mean, it's going to get significantly worse for the city. And it's so sad to see these homeless people just living on the streets. I mean, I believe I saw this in the New York Post, this image, and your heart breaks for these people. I mean, they should not be out in the streets. They should be forced into shelter, forced to mental health services to get some type of treatment. But instead, they always pretend, these communists, like they are, oh, we're so empathetic, we're going to work with these people, we're going to help them out. But they're not. They're giving them the option, which is live on the street and die, or maybe we can find you shelter. We don't really know. But this is what's going on in New York City. So far, I know we're only a couple of weeks into this, but are you hearing of any like buyer's remorse? Maybe these voters are all of a sudden saying, all right, maybe this wasn't the guy for the job.
Oh, absolutely. Because look, here's the thing about mayors of major cities. We look at Brandon Johnson or Karen Bass or Zoran Mondani like they're these all-powerful people. They're not. They have the exact same power as the local mayor in your community. The difference is that their community happens to be gigantic. And look, local government is not sexy. It is, your job is to clean up the trash. It is to plow the streets. It is to keep people safe. It is not to bring about some sort of global change. And he's been focusing a lot on that. The irony of the entire thing is that there is no trash, there is no snow directly in front of Gracie Mansion where he lives, but where the rest of us live, there are mounds of frozen trash. I'm not sure if you can. I'm pretty sure you're able to smell it all the way down in Texas as it builds up on every street corner all around New York City.
Yeah, it's an absolute dump. And I used to joke when I lived in New York, I used to say all the time, hated the summers because it smelled so bad. I could only imagine, though, how much worse it's going to be now with Zoran Madani in charge. I mean, the trash on the streets, the smell that we all had to endure was just horrendous. So it's only going to get worse, Kevin, unfortunately for them. You know, I am a Long Islander. I know you're a Long Islander. We've had our issues in Long Island, but it's been a pretty moderate turnaround for things. Politically, it's getting better for Long Island rather than New York City, but I saw this story and I gave it a good laugh. There's a Wyandanche principal who's being accused right now of dropping thousands of dollars on steak and lobster dinners, boozing up his staff. And they're also accusing him of doing these jet ski rentals. Now, these funds apparently were meant for the youth mentor program. I lived in Wyandanche back when I was hustling back in my days, in the beginning phase of my media days. And I lived in an apartment. It wasn't a very nice apartment, but I lived there. And I can tell you, it's not a very nice side of town. These kids, I actually, and this has a lot to do with just my personal information, all of this, they actually made cuts because there were so many illegal aliens being flooded into the Wyandanche School District. Wyandanche School District, for folks who are unfamiliar, it's usually, it does, the majority of the Americans that live over there are Black, but then they saw a quick influx of Hispanic students being brought in. And as a result of all of this, they actually cut back on a lot of these programs. So the school itself was losing a ton of money because of the bilingual programs they had to start up. And so they shut down a lot of after school programs. We ended up doing a collective thing, and we ended up donating a whole bunch of sporting equipment to these kids, hoping they weren't going to turn to the streets. But now you have these principals on top of everything who allegedly, this is also just accusations not proven in court yet, due to an audit, have been spending this money for this youth mentor program on their own personal things like steak lobster dinners and boozes. I mean, Kevin, this is so outrageous because Wyandanche is limited on its resources already. And so here you have a principal who is just happens to be also a black principal, I'll throw that out there too, who's now being accused of using those funds. I mean, this is like a system that never corrects itself, that they're not able to help these kids because these are the people at the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wyandanche actually has the lowest graduation rate on all of Long Island. Only 73% of their students last year graduated. You talked about the budget shortfalls that they've had over the years. A few years ago, the New York Jets actually paid for the freshman football team to be able to travel and get uniforms. Also, let's put this into the broader sort of woke context. Wyandanche had to spend millions of dollars redoing their stadiums, redoing their logos and their uniforms and their insignias because they had to get rid of Native American insignias as part of Kathy Hochul's plan. So not only is the school being robbed by the principal, allegedly, the school had to waste millions of dollars to get rid of like a Native American tribal leader's head on the middle of their on the middle of their field. But their budget falls every year and their graduation rate is getting worse and worse. So it's almost like they're trying to do everything they possibly can to keep what is a very impoverished neighborhood down and not be able to pick them up. It's absolutely terrifying because as a young man, I once was, if you take away school sports from some of these kids, you might as well just put a gun in their hand. You know, young boys who do not have active lifestyles will find a way to go and cause trouble. And when you cut freshman and JV sports, ninth and 10th grade, like Wyandanche has had to do over the course of the last several years, they are going to go out into the neighborhoods. It doesn't matter what race, what religion, it's just what teenage boys do. If you've ever been around one, you know that that's kind of how we operate. So to see this principal robbing these funds, now they have to cut, you know, music and freshman football, freshman basketball. It's a serious problem.
No, it is a serious problem, and it's frustrating to sit back and watch because I don't think most Americans even understand what's going on right now in areas like that. And it's heartbreaking because, again, like you mentioned, the Jets did step in and help those kids out. I remember Suffolk PD also did step in too as well, and they gave them a chunk of change, and we tried giving them sporting equipment, but man, oh man, are the stats against them when it comes to that type of stuff. So it's unfortunate to see that their own principal, allegedly, we'll say, again, not proven in court, they're just saying that this was due to the audit, was allegedly misusing these funds. We'll keep our eye on it, though, of course, because this is a story that's close to my heart because we tried helping these kids out, and unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But let's switch up gears a little bit. But let's keep it on the same topic of stupidity because Elizabeth Warren was just grilled recently about voter ID, and she's not happy in regards to possibly women not being able to vote. It's kind of like a mind twist of stupidity. Let's listen into clip 12.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought this week to the floor for a vote. Do you support voter ID for elections?
Well, it depends on what you mean by voter ID. When you want to say that everyone has to produce a birth certificate, including women whose married names are not on their birth certificates, that creates a real problem for me.
Well, isn't that just one of the first steps in getting married is getting a new ID?
Actually, it's not getting a new birth certificate, because part of what the SAVE Act does is it says most driver's licenses around the country won't work as an ID, and that creates a terrible problem.
But you need an ID to do just about anything in America. Shouldn't you need one to vote in
elections? You don't need a birth certificate. I hope you know that.
I hope you know that. The level of stupidity is off the charts, but hey, as a woman, I'm worried now the SAVE Act might actually come for me and I might lose my right to vote. Just kidding, folks. If you're listening, you know, that's worried. Kevin, what do you think, though?
It's the bigotry of low expectations. Like, women can't use their little brains to figure out how to get an ID. We're not asking a lot here. And no one's saying you have to walk up with your birth certificate. You just have to show proof of who you are and that you're a registered voter. The irony of the whole situation is Elizabeth Warren saying, well, you know, in some states you can get a license without being a citizen. Yeah, that's a bigger problem. like that you can get a driver's license and not be an American citizen or not have any documentation that you deserve that license in the first place. Maybe if the states weren't giving out CDLs and driver's licenses to people who have no right to be here in the first place, then that wouldn't be an issue. But, you know, I guess that's a bigger problem for Elizabeth Warren and her tiny female brain. Like, it just, whenever they say that, like, black people or women or Hispanics can't, I'm like, do you guys know how racist and misogynistic that is, that you guys just can't figure out how to do that? Like, it's wild.
Yeah, well, they're trying to blame us. They're trying to say that women are unable to do all of this, and that's the reason why we can't support voter ID in this country. And it's like, hold on a second. If you can't figure out as a woman on how to obtain a voter ID and through whatever it is, I actually don't think you should be able to vote. In fact, I mean, this is a whole other argument, but probably most women shouldn't be able to vote because they vote on their emotions rather than actual logic. But that will get people fired up these days. But the reality of it is, though, is I hate how they try to use, originally it was minorities, and they were just throwing minorities under, oh, they just, you know, black Americans can't get IDs. And even, the New York governor, she's out here saying that kids in the Bronx, black kids in the Bronx can't even get computers. They don't know any of this stuff. I mean, they sit here and they tell you openly what they think about us. They don't think highly of us. They don't think we're educated. They don't think we're capable of doing these things. And to me, it's just laughable because people still continue to vote for them. But it's all a front. And even the vast majority of Democratic voters truly support voter ID. So they're going to lose on that battle. But speaking of that, before you go, I wanted to get your take on this. There's a Texan politician. He's actually not even Texan. He's from China originally. He was born in China. But here we are bringing people who hate us. Gene Wu, I guess is how you could pronounce his name. He is someone who I've known for quite some time, just focusing on the local politics of things, that is a communist, in my personal opinion. But he's out here trying to race bait. He's also trying to brag about how whites are losing the majority here in the state of Texas. Take a listen to clip 13.
A couple of follow-ups, what you just said. Legally, when it comes to, like, policy, sure, right, immigration is a federal issue.
Sure.
But what we're seeing and yep, what you just named, and you're an immigrant yourself.
Absolutely.
You came here how old?
I was about 4 and a half.
You were 4 and a half. What you just named very clearly is that this is a local issue.
Absolutely.
That this is a block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood yep, issue. Yep. Now, thank you for just jumping right in and kind of at the root of this, white mm-hmm, nationalism, right? In a state that white people are now the minority.
Either
in Texas.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah.
Either are or already are minority or very close to it.
Yeah.
Right? But still the majority of voters.
Of voters. Mm-hmm. And certainly where the power structure
correct,
is. Now.
Yeah, so Kevin, he was very proud of that in another clip as well, bragging about how he's proud that whites are becoming the minority here. He's someone, again, he's a foreigner. He's not from this country. What do you make of all of this? Because we continue to have these politicians, not just here in Texas, but all across the country. It's just alarming that he's in Texas, but all across the country who hate this country. We're brought here, I think, specifically for their hatred of this country, and they're trying to destroy us from within.
No, absolutely. And it's so wild because when people talk about things like, oh, Democrats are importing new voters, and then they'll scream, that's a conspiracy theory. And then you have a guy there saying it out loud, that if we just bring in more non-white people, we'll get our way. The problem is that that's the sort of coalition of the ascendant that Barack Obama talked about. The problem with that is that most people don't see themselves in one context of their race or their gender or their ethnicity. They vote on values. And that's why we saw President Trump speaking to those values and picking up more Hispanic and black votes than any Republican in history. If they keep down this racial path, I don't know if it's going to go well for them. They're going to keep trying it, but I hope Democrats keep saying the quiet part out loud so that we can see what they're really all about.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's about time we got to unveil what's going on here. And I think they're doing their own job at that. They're doing a pretty good job at that. And we look forward to that as it continues to happen. Kevin, by the way, you sent me this clip. I want to play clip 14 before you head on out. This one has to do with the math. And what was that? Okay. So we'll go to that in a little bit, actually. Kevin, thank you for joining us. I'm hearing that there's something going on right now in front of the Immigration Services Committee. And so we're going to, or the hearing that's going on right now. So we're going to head over there right now. But Kevin, thank you for joining us. We greatly appreciate your time. As always, folks, give him a follow on X as well. Kevin_Smith45. That is the one you're going to want to go to. He's the founder of The Loud Majority. And you got to head on over and give him a subscribe to as well. Kevin, thank you for being with us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
All right, folks, we're heading on over back again. See, I'm playing this game where we're just bouncing around on everything that's going on right now. We're going to head on over right now back to that congressional hearing we were bringing to you before. A little bit more is going on right now. The three individuals right now who are testifying in front of the Homeland Security Committee hearing, while they're speaking right now, Democrats are trying to grill them and pin them down to, I guess, a little sound bites that they use for fundraising purposes. But right now you have the leaders of both ICE, Border Patrol, and Immigration Services speaking. Let's take a listen.
And good morning to our witnesses. Commissioner Scott, did the ICU nurse, Alex Preddy, deserve to die?
I cannot comment on an ongoing investigation, sir.
Do you believe that he deserved to die? Should he be killed by your agents?
I'm not going to comment on an ongoing investigation, sir, before it's concluded and all the facts are available.
Do you agree with CBP Commander Bovino's statement that Alex Preddy was planning to massacre law enforcement agents?
I'm not going to comment on an ongoing investigation, sir.
Director Lyons, did Renee Good deserve to die?
Sir, I can't comment on ongoing investigations.
Director Lyons, do you agree with Secretary Noem and Vice President Vance's characterization of Renee Good as a domestic terrorist?
Sir, I can't speak to their comments, as that they are their own, but as an ongoing investigation, I can't speak to that.
Director Lyons, what did your agents mean when he said, you raise your voice, I erase your voice, in the video just that we have seen, all of us have seen?
Sir, I'm not aware of that video that you have, sir. I can't comment on what that officer has said.
Does that statement, if I show you the video of that, does that statement reflect the value of your agency? And does ICE respect and adhere to the First Amendment?
Yes, sir. ICE does respect and refer to the First Amendment, but that doesn't respect that. Well, your statement that you said doesn't represent the values of the men and women of ICE.
Commissioner Scott, does CBP respect and adhere to the First and Second Amendment?
Yes, we do.
Don't you agree that Alex Preddy had every right to exercise his First and Second Amendment freedoms before being shot in the streets by one of your, before being shot in the streets by one of your agents?
I believe every person in the United States has a right to their constitutional rights.
Look, I have heard and seen enough. I'm just sick and tired of your agents running around in our cities, in our streets, causing illegal activities. ICE and CBP thugs are roaming our streets, attacking our communities, using our children as bait, referring to people as bodies and numbers, targeting people for their accents and the color of their skin, and killing American citizens, all while showing zero remorse for their actions. Director Lyons.
If we're going to start judging people on accents, that guy's got to be judged. That is a horrendous accent. And if we're going to keep pushing for mass deportations, you got to send these people out of your country. See, that guy over there should not even be. I didn't even know he was actually a member of Congress. Who elects these people? Oh, not us, of course. Not the people. That's how people like that get elected to office. Folks, that was probably the dumbest, like the actual dumbest, like I'm gonna go a little low. One of the dumbest line of questioning I've ever heard in my life. What an absolute moron. See, these are the people, it's like when you call, like just say like you're having a computer issue and they're reading, their thick Indian accent, they're reading off of their pre-drafted scripts. That's what that just sounded like to me. I won't even try to imitate it. It was bad. The American people deserve better. We got to stop importing people from countries that hate us. stop importing these types of people. They can't even, in their native country, they can't even form a functioning government. And we bring them in? How embarrassing. How embarrassing. Folks, I want to make sure this is on your radar. There's a flesh-eating parasite. And no, it's not any of these swamp creatures in Washington, D.C. There's a flesh-eating parasite known as New World Screwworm. Yeah, you heard that right. It is somehow spreading from the northward Mexico area towards the U.S. border right now. I'm sure this is all natural, of course. It has somehow, some way, infesting open wounds on a lot of warm-blooded animals, livestock, wildlife, and pets. And they're saying that it is actually causing severe pain, deep infections, and potential death if it goes untreated. The fly apparently is laying about 200 to 300 eggs per batch in the wounds. Wounds. I'll get it right. Obviously, this is something that is very scary. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has issued a statewide disaster declaration to unlock resources to increase surveillance and try to gather some resources to push back and to prevent this from making its way to the United States. Now, there was a rare human case occurred in Maryland. This was back in 2024 after the individual apparently traveled to El Salvador. But they're saying that there's been no widespread outbreaks here in the United States. Officials emphasize that prevention through animal inspection, early detection, and reports of the larva that's coming about in these wounds is the best way to make sure that it does not make its way to the United States. So it's a flesh-eating parasite. Mexico, the gifts that just keep giving. They keep just giving us tons of gifts. Folks, we're also keeping our eye on a couple of other things, too. I'll break down a report tomorrow in regards to Meta researchers who apparently warned top executives at Meta that there was a bunch of kids being targeted online. We'll walk you through the details. It has to do with the latest bombshell documents that are being brought to the attention of many right now. It's also has to do with the lawsuit in New Mexico. I'll talk about that tomorrow as well. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done it already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have two bundles going on right now. And when you bundle some of your favorite supplements, you're getting 50% off. All you got to do right now is stop what you're doing and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have the Ultimate Gut Brain Bundle, as well as the Modern World Survival Stack. These are two incredible packages that you get 50% off when you buy it together in these bundles. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, that does it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next. Don't go anywhere. More to expose next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after The Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock. We'll be right back.